The Rob Khan Show with Anna DeFlantis right here on 720 WGN. Steve Stone on baseball, brought to us by Let Us Entertain You Restaurants.
That makes you feel old.
You got to try. You got to try Shaw's, guys. It's really wonderful, and it's summertime. It's light. It's fish. It's really good.
Those crab cakes.
I love Shaw's. Gosh, I go back there again and again. I was going to say, one of the things that makes you feel old is when Kevin said Mark Burley's perfect game was, what, 9 years ago?
9 years ago. Today. I was late to my summer job that day because I refused to leave the house and head to work until that game was completed.
I know. I remember it so well.
There you go. There you go. Let's see, Steve, as a pitcher, explain to us why the perfect game is such an elusive thing. Especially now in modern baseball.
Because of the description of it. I mean, you can't have a bad call by the umpire. You can't have a bad play in the infield or outfield. You can't make a whole lot of bad pitches. And it's very difficult. I mean, since the beginning of time, there's been 22 of them, something like that, 21, 22 perfect games. So when you take a look at the scarcity, you take a look at the odds against, you realize so many things have to fall into place for you to get one of those. And, you know, you don't want to trust to go to 3-2 because if you're throwing just off the corner or just on the corner, you might not get the pitch. Same thing with any kind of hard hit ball. I mean, everybody has to do it flawlessly. And because there is very little perfection in the major leagues, as good as these guys are, you just don't see perfect games.
Not that it's ever easy, Steve, but do you think it's easier now compared to the past where there's less balls in play and it's kind of swing for a home run or strike out?
Well, if we saw a proliferation of perfect games, I would say sure. I mean, looking at the numbers of balls being put in play, you'd have to say the fewer balls put in play, the more the opportunity is to field flawlessly. But it doesn't work that way because although, you know, we see still the occasional no-hitter, we just don't see, we don't see a perfect game, you know, four times a season. And it's not surprising. It's just, like I say, a lot of things have to go right.
Yeah. It's a special moment.
It is.
Really is something. I mean, that's why baseball is such a special sport, because it's about longevity, duration, the traditions of the game. It's unlike the other sports where the spectacular can occur on a baseball field, but it's kind of the subtlety of great pitching, right? A 2-0 game can be a masterpiece game. Right, that's you. Yeah. People would not say that about football.
No, what I enjoy about baseball is, like, I've been going to see baseball for a long time, which is an easy way of saying that I'm pretty old. But I've seen a lot of games, and I've called a lot of games, and I've been involved playing wise in a lot of games. And yet, I can go there tonight and see something that I've never seen before, and that happens much more frequently than you would expect. I mean, you would expect if you've seen, I don't know, 8, 9, 10,000 games in your life, one way or the other, calling them, broadcasting them, or playing them, just going to see them, you would think that somewhere along the line you would run out of variables, but you don't seem to. And baseball will show you something that you say, wow, as long as I've been going, as many as I've seen, I've never seen that happen before, or combinations of things that happen. The triple play that the Sox turned last year, I believe, those numbers were never accomplished in a triple play before, as many games as there have been played. So That's the beauty of it. When you do go to the park, you never really know where that moment is to see something that's never happened before.
Steve, there was a lot of talk really over the past couple years about Mike Trout, plays for the Angels, 2-time MVP, and whether or not Major League Baseball markets him well enough, because he is going to go down as potentially one of the greatest baseball players of all time. And then last week we had the commissioner coming out sort of hinting that Trout isn't exactly helping in that department as well. What do you think baseball could do to market Trout more and maybe put into perspective how good Mike Trout is in case anybody's not paying attention?
Well, I think if he was, let's say he was a White Sox player, I'm pretty sure that he would be marketed very well by the White Sox, and I'm not sure exactly what the Angels do to market him. But look, he's a magnificent player who treats the fans exceptionally well and does things off the field the way you would like to see them done. So I understand the commissioner's idea, because his job is to help publicize baseball, to make it the best game it could possibly be, i.e. let's see more eyes on it than ever before, both coming to the park and watching on television or your assorted devices, as they say. So the more eyes that watch, the more interest there is in baseball, and the easier then the job is for the people who do market it. But I don't think that you can change the personality of Mike Trout. He doesn't have Bryce Harper's personality. He has more ability than Bryce Harper does. So he's been a better player. He's been a more consistent player. He stayed on the field most of the time, and Bryce has been injured on occasion. Not his fault. It's just one of those things. But everybody has a different personality. I don't think you can legislate that. So if baseball as a group wants to find some way to market their players a bit better, I don't know, you know, do commercials just around them. That's certainly one of the things that you'd look at. You'd say to yourself, you know, that might be a pretty good idea. But I don't think you can have a man change his personality because baseball wants to market him. I think baseball will do what they want to do within the framework of what Mike Trout wants to do. And I think he's doing exactly what he wants to do. And so let's just enjoy it. Let's revel in it. Let's watch him and appreciate his efforts. But don't make him something that he's not, because that's a recipe for disaster for everybody.
But, you know, athletics, American, you know, sports, on especially in the television era, is like television. Television is a compilation of hits and stars, right? A star can make a hit can make a star, but if you don't have hits and stars, people don't watch, right? So the in this case, the same is said of sports. Look at what has happened to professional golf, right? That in when Tiger was, you know, when he waned, people eyeballs left watching golf on television. And then, you know, he has, for 37 minutes, the highest ratings in the history of the
so
British
true.
Open yesterday.
Everybody was
when
watching.
When he was leading, and everybody was tweeting, and we're back.
Everybody.
It's what it is. And baseball does need, you know, baseball, you played in an era where there were a number of gigantically great stories and stars, right? Whether it was Hank Aaron or Pete Rose or any of those guys that were legends, Reggie Jackson, guys like that. And then in this moment, it's more cluttered, and they do have to be better at telling the stories. And all of a sudden you need a guy. And I think your point about Bryce Harper is right. You need a guy who's willing to be an Instagram star as well as a television star, as well as, you know, whatever it is that you need to do to market yourself. And I just don't see that with Trout. He just isn't, to your point, he's an excellent player. You know, you look at, Ryan Sandberg was like that with the Cubs. You know, he was a guy who was as great a baseball player as you'd ever want to have as a second baseman, I thought, right? Or actually more naturally as a shortstop, but you know, he became a star as a second baseman with the Cubs. But he was, you know, the media was never really his big thing. You know, he was a baseball guy. You know, and that's kind of where I see Mike Trout, you know, is sort of in that world where his stats will tell the story and his life, you know, and as you pointed out, he's a good guy off the field. So that's an important thing. So,
well, look, if we have to recognize the fact that as an industry, we are in a different era than we've ever been before. And consequently, there is a lot of different ways to approach the fans, and there's ways to get to fans of all different age groups. And you have to break that down. So if baseball wants to, what I would suggest would be to get a high powered marketing organization just dedicated to making the stars of baseball even bigger stars. It would cost a few bucks for every team, or certainly baseball as a whole, get together and figure out brand new marketing schemes to market the individual players, not just the teams, on a regional basis. Because if that's the case, your teams back east will always get more pub because of the time frame and everything else than every other team, certainly the ones out west. But you'd have to do it completely differently. And if you want to sit down and spend some time and understand that we're in the battle of our lifetimes for the entertainment dollar, and there's a lot of different entertainment around, and a lot of people are choosing to spend their monies other than coming to baseball games. We need to increase that, and to do that, you have to market a bit better than we've marketed before. Let's face it, with all due respect, you can only have so many Elvis nights. And eventually, you know, Elvis is good. He's a very nice guy and all that. And then, you know, you like the jumpsuits and all that kind of stuff. But it's been done and redone and overdone. We need to have some new ideas to reach a new fandom, a younger fandom than ever before, to keep their attention. And we can do that. Well, we're going to be in good shape. And if we can't, we'll lose out to other sports.
Right. And the ballpark experience is so critical in this. I mean,
it's just the
experience of being able to get in and have, if something great isn't happening on the field, and also being able to, where the family, because it goes slow, people's attention spans are short, you want to bring the whole family, you got to have something for everybody. And that's something that I think is absolutely critical, because it's not football, it's not basketball, it's not hockey. It's a very deliberate sport, and you have to be you have to be ready for that, and weather plays right. a big factor. I mean, have we ever had a worse baseball spring in this town? I can't think of many. Maybe a handful in my lifetime than we had in terms of weather here. So it's like you need to do what you got to do to put the butts in the seats. And it's not just a Southside issue. Even the Cubs have had some issues this year with this. So it is really it's really a moment. All right. But speaking of that, we're going to put four butts in the seats right now.
Nice.
Caller number 7 at 312-981-7200 wins a family four-pack of tickets to the White Sox versus the Royals on Tuesday the 31st. That's a week from tomorrow. Keep listening for that sounder that you just heard, and that will cue you to call. Caller number 7 right now, 312-981-7200. All right. Steve, thank you very much, sir. Appreciate
it. Thank
you, Steve. Take care. Have a good show.
All right, thanks. Steve. All right, Steve Stone right there. Right now we check in with Judy. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
Governor Rauner takes a pass on President Trump in Illinois.
Viola?